You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 161. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who's got really weird hand signals for letting me know I can talk now, John Brownstone. This week, we're talking about something we tell a lot of kinksters when they email us. Be patient, slow the hell down, and don't try to hurry your DS relationship or BDSM kinky fuckery. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And yes, reviews really do work, so whenever you get a chance, please let everybody else know how much you love us, and maybe only leave a review if you love an episode. Skip reviews on the episodes you hate. That's just my philosophy. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I still fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes. And I actually have an announcement this week.
Wow.
We have updated our Patreon for 2019, and we're only multiple weeks late doing it. So you can pledge $1, $5, $10, $25, or even up to $50 per month through our kinky patron Patreon and help support our work and allow us to expand and do more things. So your pledge goes to things like finally hiring a virtual assistant, like we've talked about doing since 2018. Pay the nice person who's transcribing podcast episodes for us to do more than one per month. And if we get enough kinky patrons, we'll be able to create even more kinky content for everyone, which will expand videos, blogs, podcasts, all of it. You'll get more. Everybody will get more. So check it out at patreon.com/KaylaLords. And then there is the, you know, what the hell you get for your money, other than, you know, the nice warm feeling of helping people out. All patrons at any dollar level get access to a monthly behind the scenes podcast episode where we sit around and talk about what we've been doing, what we're going to be doing, all the businessy kind of things, but it's like the sneak peek stuff. You get early access to videos other than live streams because they're live, that's hard. And you get access to a regularly scheduled live Q&A through Patreon every month. We are guaranteeing ourselves we will do this every month. It'll be the third Saturday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time zone. At this point, because it's new to us, I do not know what happens when we're done, like if we're able to post the video to be watched later in Patreon or what. We will find that out.
Yes.
So if you're a patron and you miss it, will you still get access to it? We shall find out. So you get all of that plus pictures and posts and information we share only with our kinky patrons. And that's, again, any level beginning at $1 a month. So you don't have to have a ton of money to be able to get access. And if you are able to contribute more, you get extra perks. The largest level, $50 per month. I do not exactly expect a ton of people to do this. It's okay. But those patrons will actually get small care packages in the mail every month. It might be a card and some stickers one month. It might be like, who the hell knows what it'll be. It might be maybe some lube or some sex toys. I don't know. And on a random month, it might be a weapon of ass destruction made by John Brownstone. So you just never know. But that is the top tier. And no, we are not asking everybody to try and join at the top tier. But you can learn more at the tiers, our goals, why we're doing this, all that, at patreon.com/KaylaLords. Again, patreon.com/KaylaLords, or just click the link in the show notes. Let's get into the episode.
All right, that sounds good to me.
So I feel like the irony should not be lost on anybody else, including myself, that I am notoriously impatient. And the advice I give to a lot of people is to be patient. Like, I know that I'm a very impatient person, and we have joked many times before in the past.
Yeah.
I have noticed.
I think the most common words that I ever utter around here is patience, baby girl.
Well, and I would like to point out that, how do I put this? That as I've gotten older, I have become more patient.
And, you know, I will agree with that. Okay. You have. You have gotten a lot better since I first met
you. See?
Yes.
So the other thing, sorry, I'm looking at my notes, y'all. You're like, why are you looking down? I'm looking at my notes. that's YouTube viewers who are wondering why the hell I'm looking down. Sorry, right. Podcast listeners, you had no idea. part of it is it's way easier to give advice. Like, I give great advice. I do not take all the advice I give. That does not make me a hypocrite. That makes me an advice giver.
This is one of those instances of do as I say and not as I do.
The best response I've ever heard to this is, coaches don't play. Oh. We are on the sidelines guiding. No. Patience really has been a problem of mine for years. I want what I want when I want it. And, you know, in the little kind of community on that part of the spectrum for submissives, we are all, it feels like we're all notoriously impatient, and that's like a hallmark. Oh, it's a little, of course, they're going to have no patience. But I have met plenty of every other type of submissive who has not been patient. And a lot of times that tends to go back to sub-frenzy. I mean, it's called frenzy for a reason. Mm. You're moving fast. You want it all. Maybe you've suppressed a part of yourself for any amount of time. You're super excited. And when we get super excited, I don't know anybody who's like really measured and calm when they're like ecstatic about
and
something.
And then you let it loose and right. it goes.
But the reason I wanted us to talk about this week as an episode, basically, maybe not this specific week, but just as an episode, is because I have noticed in the past several, probably the last 5 or 6 emails that I've gotten from kinksters from all sides of the slash. Mm-hmm. So I mostly talk to submissives, but I do get messages from dominants. And they've all presented with varying issues in their relationship or with their exploration of kink, where they've said things like, I feel overwhelmed, or my partner says they're going to do all of these things we've agreed to, but then they don't hold up their end of the bargain, or, you know, they're not consistent. We did a whole episode on consistency in DS and why it's so important. And when I like dig in deep, or I kind of read between the lines, or I ask some questions, or maybe sometimes it's just the details they give me, 99% of the time, it's a brand new relationship, and what they decided was they would do all the things on day one at the same time. And so I try to always give, like, here are several things to think about, find what's right for you. And one of those things in all of those emails, regardless of the specifics of the issue that they're having, has been, you're really new to this. Why are you trying to do a dozen things? Like, why do you have a laundry list of all these rules you're trying to follow and all these tasks you're trying to do? And you've got all this and you just started 5 minutes ago. Now, there are people out there, because life is a spectrum. There are people out there who can jump into things both feet and just do everything. And it doesn't faze them.
Take it in stride. True.
Right. I think that's not as common as we'd like to think. I think we'd all like to think that we are that person.
Yeah.
Even the things I've just naturally been really good at. No, I've always been better at them when I slowed the hell down and started sort of piece by piece. So it does seem funny though, that, definitely impatient person right here sitting next to the extremely patient person right next to me. That I would be like, no, let's talk about why it's important to be patient. So there are a lot of reasons for it. There's a lot of reasons how you can kind of probably tell that you have gone too fast. I think the first sign is, did you literally just discover this kinky thing and you had the conversation and the other person was like, yes, let's do it. And you are you doing all the things? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're doing, my preference is to tell people to start with 1, 2, maybe 3 things. It depends on what you can handle.
Right.
Get really good at them. Get where they're comfortable. They're natural. Because some of this stuff is not natural. Some of this stuff, you are going against societal teachings, religious upbringing, your parents, past relationships. Like, you are, in some cases, fighting against the tide of everything you've ever been told to do something different that, yes, feels right, that, yes, speaks to your sexuality or your preferences or whatever, who you are as a person and your identity. Yeah, that's true. That doesn't always make it easy.
Right.
So if you do a dozen things at once and you still have those voices in your head telling you how wrong you are, it's a lot harder to do than if you have 1, maybe 2 things. Mm-hmm. And I say 1 or 2 because I'm a cautious person by nature. Some people can handle more things, but my point is maybe not all of the things.
us.
Right. You don't want to, because what happens, you will overwhelm yourself if you try to do too much too soon. The other thing that can happen, too, is that your over-exuberance can overwhelm your partner.
And I think that happens a lot. And from my perspective, from the people I hear from, this is not the truth out there in the world, but it's what I see. I tend to see submissives who are emailing saying, my partner says they want to do this with me, but they, you know, they list all these things like they slack off, they don't follow up, they forget. All, to me, classic signs of being overwhelmed, being anxious, being nervous, being uncertain, not wanting to do it, but not being confident enough that they can do it. And it's kind of a light bulb moment for some people when they go, you mean maybe I like piled on all these things I want to do? The other sign, and this is much less frequent, but I do get messages from DOMs, and it's very sweet because they email me and they say, I want to be the dominant partner that my submissive wants. I desperately want this, but I'm freaking out and it's not working and I can't seem to follow through. And what's wrong? And there are a lot of potential reasons for that. They could be all kinds of things. Sometimes the power exchange, you're not dominant in the way that your partner wants you to be dominant. Maybe your dynamic is not quite, you haven't quite found the mix yet. Maybe this just isn't your thing. Maybe the things you've decided to do don't actually fit with your personality. Like, there's all kinds of reasons, but one of the potential reasons is, well, you haven't even gotten used to this concept of dominance yet, let alone dominance and submission, let alone power exchange and how this alters your entire relationship. Why don't you back up a few steps and spend more time talking about it and educating yourself and also picking one thing that you are super excited to do, like really get you going. I like to say start with the thing that turns you on because it's much easier to keep that going. or the thing that really intrigues you where you can't stop thinking about it. Because there's no prize or finish line for getting to whatever the end you think is of we are now officially a DS couple. So to me, you don't have to do two dozen things on day one and say that you've done something. What you've done is completely overwhelmed your entire relationship, both of you. You've got things you can't keep up with. You don't even know if you like those things. It's one thing to think you like something because you had a conversation. Maybe you watched some porn. Maybe you read some erotica. Like, however you come to this. And you go, yeah, that's intriguing. I'm intrigued by a shit ton of things. I don't want to do them. Oh, my God. I got fantasies left and right. I got some dark fantasies. I'm not doing them.
Do tell.
Not right now. We'll talk about that later. Wait. Actually, I should say, have you read my blog? Like... I put it all out there. So part of that, and I think most of the kinksters I tend to talk to, they know and they understand very well the concept of they have to talk to their partner and you have to have these conversations. But most people don't realize that, one, the communication and the talking, it never ends.
No.
It's not a one and done. And two, before you start the first thing, there should be probably a lot more talking than you realize there should be.
Right.
And go back to the, you overwhelm yourself and you don't even know what you like yet. If you start with one or two things that really intrigue you, really turn you on, you're like, oh yeah, that's my jam right there. When you can focus on what those things are, you can get really granular with them and go, okay, I really like this about it, but I don't really like that about it. I'll give you a perfect case in point. We were at our local club this morning.
Yes.
Day of recording. For my ass to get beat. And it was lovely. It was wonderful. We will talk about it at the bonus section at the end. But part of what we did, like it was, I was on a spanking bench. It was an ass beating. It was pure impact play. There was some sensation play, but it was like impact play. We were able to, during, quite frankly, and after, during aftercare, we talked about how different it was from our normal place of the St. Andrew's Cross. Okay. So we are typically St. Andrew's Cross people. Strap me up. I'm standing. The body hangs differently. Fat muscle distribution is slightly different. Every single sensation from a normal play time on a cross to the spanking bench, which I've only actually done a couple of times.
Right.
Every single sensation was 100% different. Every toy that I love, every toy that I hate felt different. We went in our conversation about that. I went into the weeds. I was like, okay, when you used this paddle, that felt great. When you hit at this part of my butt, that was not normal to me. Like, we could dissect it. Now, we can do that about the 20 implements he used and the 45 minutes we spent on the bench and all the music we heard because we've got the experience now. When you're new and you're like, we're going to try spanking. You're going to try just the spanking. You're going to do it once or twice or whatever. Mm-hmm. And each time you're going to talk about it. And if all you're doing is focusing on that one thing, whatever it might be, that you're working on, a task, a routine, a rule, kinky fuckery thing, you're going to talk about it. And you're going to talk about it in great detail. How did this feel? What did you think would happen? What did you want to happen? What did you expect to happen? What do you wish had happened? What felt good? What felt bad? And when you're only focused on one thing, you can get into those details and you can really start to pick apart why you like it, why you don't. Is this something we continue? Is it something that's like in the repertoire, but we don't pull it out all the time? and you can start to look at rules and tasks and go, okay, those don't. Yeah, that sounded kinky enough when I heard about it, but that doesn't suit us. So let's toss it. Or, yeah, I really like that. And if we added to it, did more, made it mandatory, whatever. But when you've got 20, 30 things going on because you've decided, okay, we're DS now. We're going to go do all the DS things. How the hell do you pick apart that conversation? You'd be talking for hours to try and narrow down what works, what doesn't, what feels good, what doesn't, what is kind of hitting some bad tapes or some triggers that you didn't even know you had until you went through it. Like, it's very difficult to parse those things out.
True.
You are a lovely agreer. Thank you. I am a rambling fool today.
Well, you are just ranting on. I mean, I just need to sit here, make sure the video is running, make sure the audio is running.
Well, and I do want to get into how to do that because while I understand the importance of patience, it's not a skill of mine. It is something I struggle with. It is something for me to be patient and say, okay, slowing down on anything. I mean, for me, it's usually work related, but I have to have a conversation, ongoing conversation in my head where I say things to myself like, it's okay. These things take a while. You know, they take a while. You give it 3 more days and then you follow up. You give it a week. You give it this. Check again. Like, these are the things I'm saying in my head. I know I sound a little woo because I am. And that's how I can fake patience because I'm negotiating with myself in my head to say, hey, I'll give this a little bit more time because I know I need to be patient. But that doesn't mean that I'm like naturally patient. You, however, are. Now, I want to go on record here because I think there's something we have to say first.
Okay.
The stereotype is that dominants are automatically patient. Submissives are automatically not. That's bullshit. I am the stereotype. John Brownstone is the stereotype. But that is not always the case.
I was not always the stereotype.
Is it an age thing?
No, it is a learned thing.
See, and that's what I want to talk about. So if you find that you are the submissive and you are much more patient than your dominant partner, or as a dominant, you're finding yourself being impatient and everybody says, you know, dominants are supposed to be patient. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, I just want to clear that up, that is utter bullshit. John Brownstone just said it. Patience is a learned skill.
Right.
I haven't learned it yet, but I'm faking
it. And
I
learned it through the school of hard knocks. I ain't going to lie about that. When I was young, I wanted all the things. I wanted to dive in and do everything and anything I could.
And I do think that's an age thing because I haven't met a young person yet.
Right.
Experience
being the best teacher, I began to notice a pattern. Every time I dove into something and just wanted to grab it and do it, I found myself in over my head. I found myself overwhelmed. The times that I stepped back, I looked at something, I researched something, I learned something, and moved into it gradually, it was a much better experience, a much better time.
And I think sometimes I know some of the best, though the hardest lessons I've learned have been when I raced into something, got knocked on my ass over it, mm-hmm. and had to pick myself up and go, oh, we have to do that differently.
Right. And that's not a bad way to learn. Yes, mm-hmm. we learn from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I took from it at that time was that for me, when I'm doing something, I do better when I move slow,
mm-hmm.
when I take the time to think things through and look at it from as many angles as I can. Once I started doing that, things just in general
sort of worked out.
Sort of worked out better. So it was a learned experience that I learned to move with patience in things that I've done.
And you're very good at it. I believe I've learned some patience through osmosis. Like, just sitting next to you and the
give
constant...
Give me my patient woo-woo.
Take your patient woo-woo. Just the sheer amount of times you've said, patience, baby girl. Yeah. And I might grit my teeth. I might stomp my feet. Okay. I definitely grit my teeth. I definitely stomp my feet. I'm not always happy about it.
And oh, pout.
There may be pouting.
Yes.
Just yesterday, I got really, I don't want to say excited, like, woo, but really hyped about something that was very important to me. I mm-hmm. wanted us to deal with. It's a conversation we need to have. And I was very intense. I know y'all are shocked by that I have an intensity when I'm excited about something.
Yes.
But it was very important to me. I was like, we need to do this now. I'm the submissive. And baby girl, and I'm a lot of things. And a leader.
Yes, she is.
And opinionated. And like everything y'all already know because y'all can tell for yourself. But I have learned not to make demands. One, I'm not the dominant here. And two, he's a sadist. So if I'm demanding something, he will damn sure make sure I'm denied it for as long as possible.
That's right.
Not in an unsafe way, y'all. Let's just make that clear. So I know not to say, this absolutely has to happen on this timeline or whatever. This is what I want to happen in here. Can you tell by the tone of my voice and the look on my face how serious I think it is? So he could have been the type of person that jumped right then and was like, let's talk about it now. That's what I wanted because I'm impatient. He was like, we will talk about it Sunday. And I'm like, I have to wait 4 days?
Yes.
Yes,
you do.
And he wasn't wrong. Had we stopped everything and had that conversation right then, because it wasn't life-threatening, it wasn't about like the state of our relationship, like nothing was crumbling. It was a thing that is important to me, but that is mm-hmm. not urgent, even though it felt urgent to me at the time.
Right. 4 days is not going to make or break
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And when we do talk about that thing, we will have the space to actually think about it.
Exactly.
If we had tried to do it last night when I was all gung-ho.
It would have been a disaster.
Yeah, we wouldn't
My mind would have been elsewhere. You would have been distracted by other things. And we would have gotten frustrated and gotten nowhere.
Exactly. So yeah. I, as frustrated as I get by his ability to be patient and to go slowly and to take his time, we have always benefited from it. Always, always. Every once in
thank
a while.
You.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I get like my intuition takes over and I'm like, no, this is more serious or this really can't wait. I will bring that to him and I will say, look, I got a feeling. Here's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking. And because of the relationship we have with each other and the trust that's developed, because that I think is key to being able to slow things down and be patient. He knows that if I come to him after he's like made a decision and I'm not pouting and I'm not whining and I'm not like sort of play acting of can I get my way? I'm coming to him seriously. If that happens, he's likely going to listen to me and go, okay, maybe we do right. need to move on this. We've done that with purchases we need to make.
Yeah.
We've done that with decisions that we were like, maybe we can defer that for a month or two. And I just went, no, I don't think we can. And here's why. And we move something up. But I know, looking back, it's all retrospect, mm-hmm. that every part of our relationship has worked well for a lot of reasons, because we're compatible, because, you know, trust, because of communication. but because he moved slow. Now, I forced the moving slow in the beginning because I denied to myself, to him, and to the entire universe that I loved him and that I wanted to be with him romantically and sexually. Oh, I wanted him to be my dominant, but I was so, like, pissed from a previous broken heart that I was like, nope, love's fucked up. I'm not falling in love again. I'll just play. I'll just do this. And I'm not even wired that way. Wired that way.
Never say never.
Right. Never say never. Hey. First of all. But this patient fucking saint, like, you waited 4 months for me to, like, figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
And how quickly did you know, though? Was it, like, in December?
Probably by mid-January.
Yeah. But even then, in the middle of waiting for me to figure it out, you were still moving us forward. I just didn't know. And then when I did figure it out, I you weren't even my first DS relationship, but I went right through Sub Frenzy again. I mean, I was,
yeah,
it knocked me right on over. And you forced patience.
Yeah.
Like, you made us slow down.
Yes, I did.
And I'm grateful for that. So I know that I have directly benefited from moving slower, because I got to be with a person who taught himself to be patient.
Because I even set ground rules with you.
You remember these things better than I do.
Yeah. No, I set ground rules with you. There were certain things as far as DS that were off the table for us.
Remind me, because now I don't remember.
Remember in the very beginning, I told you, I said, I will not have any control over anything sexual with you.
Oh, yeah. And I think at first I was relieved because I was really like, I was like, oh my God, this dude's the real deal and I like him. And then I was, then I was not happy with that. I was like, wait. And you know what they ended up doing? By you setting that ground rule, maybe you did this on purpose because you're very intelligent. Some might say calculating. It kind of forced me to be the one to bring it to the table. To say, can we? Like, you were like, because I remember that. You were like, no, we're not doing anything sexual. This is platonic. This is a power exchange, but it's not a sexy, kinky thing. It's a, this is our agreement. I will do this for you. I will be this for you.
Yeah.
And by the time I finally was like, yeah, but really, I could use an orgasm now. can we like get a little freaky kinky over the phone, please and thank you? I had to come to you to broach the subject, to see. And not because you had sort of made it so that you weren't going to make that decision. You had made your decision. And so if I wanted it, that's been the nature of our DS from the very beginning. If I want something, he's no mind reader. I have to go ask for it.
Use your words.
Right. And you literally forced me to use my words when I was ready to use them.
Yeah.
Fuck, you're a genius. I'm so glad you're not an evil one.
What that did was it allowed you, because of what you had been through and going through, it allowed you to approach it when you were ready to.
I know. And you know, it's funny though, because in that case, that was the perfect thing. You weren't forcing patience. Maybe you were forcing yourself to be patient because I wasn't ready. But once I was ready, then I wanted to do all of the things.
Yes, you did.
I don't remember anymore because I wasn't paying attention from an education standpoint. I was being thwarted. Okay. That is what was happening. I was being thwarted. How did you maintain any amount of patience once that switch had flipped? Because that's what a lot of people in new relationships or who are transitioning from vanilla to kink, that's what they go through. They get to that decision, they're ready to do it, and sometimes the submissive gets sub-frenzy, and sometimes the dominant's like a little too gung-ho, hasn't learned enough patience yet. How did you... Because I don't remember getting everything I wanted just because I wanted it.
No.
That's never been the case. Every once in a while, I get something just because I want it. But that's very, very special times. So how did you manage that?
I just knew that it was the right way to approach things.
But what did you do? I don't even remember what you did. I wasn't paying attention. I was going through frenzy and wondering why I was being thwarted by the evil genius that I did not know was evil.
Well, do you remember all the tasks I assigned you for researching things? Yes.
Yes, I was constantly doing research projects.
Yeah.
And in my typical type A perfectionist, anxious, want to please everybody in authority way, I was like, oh my God, he's giving me this research project, and I know I talked to him and said I didn't have time, and he gave me a whole week, but I'm not going to get it. I'll forget. I better do it right now. I would get the assignment. The one that stands out in my mind is learning about Wartenberg wheels, because that's when I learned I don't wear. Before he even put one on me, I was like, I don't like these. I just knew. And I did it, like, if I didn't do it the first day you assigned it, I did it, like, the second day, because I was so terrified I was going to miss a deadline. In my professional career, I've never missed a deadline when I wasn't sick or something. I don't miss deadlines. I was so terrified I was going to disappoint you, and then I was going to miss a deadline, that I did it as soon as I could, even though you gave me tons of time, because I am not a patient person. And I then got really worried about format, and I had to have that, that internal conversation with myself about how you were not an English professor, you were not my boss, you're not even a writer, you weren't going to care, you just wanted the information. But I got that shit done quickly because I'm not a patient person.
Yeah, you did. But that was how I worked it. That forced you to take a slower pace.
Right, because it was, and you know, you really did focus on me educating myself.
Yes.
Like, you told me things and you told me what you thought about things, but you spent more time going, okay, you know, either it was something you did know and you wanted me to go find out, or you didn't know anything about and you were like, go research that, bring that back to me, tell me what you've learned, we'll have a conversation.
Right, and that's what we did. We would talk about it afterwards. We would have a very in-depth conversation about it.
Well, I know, maybe not now, but most of our conversations are in-depth. Yeah. We can't help ourselves. We were driving to the club this morning and came up with one topic idea that I went, did a deep dive in, and then on the way back from the club, had another deep dive into another topic, because we don't, my favorite thing to do with you is to have, well, other than kink and sex, is to have deep conversations.
Yeah.
And that's been from the very beginning of our relationship. And yes, looking back on it now, seeing where we came from and what I've figured out from what we did, you know, researching might not be a thing that everybody does. Maybe that's not your thing to do, but spending the time to talk about a thing as much as you can. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we were long distance, and I think this is a time when in-person couples can learn from long distance. In long distance, you have to find ways of connection that have nothing to do with being in the same room. And some of the best communicators I know are people who are in successful long distance relationships, because you have to communicate everything. You don't have a touch on the arm. You don't have necessarily body language. Most of the time, you don't even have facial expressions, because you might be on the phone or you might be texting. So you have to learn to get very clear, very open, very honest. And those in-depth conversations was the bulk of what we did, because while there was some kinky fuckery, eventually it was kept to like 15 minutes at the top of the day, maybe 15, 20 minutes at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest, there was flirting, but there was just a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And I think that if all newer DS couples, or even people who are just exploring a new kink that you didn't know was your thing,
mm-hmm.
would just take that kind of time and almost go back to the beginning of, we don't know anything, let's pretend we really don't know anything, and how will we teach ourselves these things? And I know there are people out there who learn by doing, and you just dive in and you go, I'll figure this out. Ooh, y'all make me anxious. And I know there are people like that, but even then, you can still maybe educate yourself first and then do it. I don't know. I don't know how y'all work, because like I said, I love y'all, but you make me anxious. I am a researcher. That's the other thing. That is the other thing I was thinking of, is that I can be patient on a new thing because I'm anxious. It's not really patience. It just looks like patience. It's anxiety. I'm fucking terrified. So what I do is I read everything I can about a thing, and then I read people's opinions about a thing, and then I read the pros and cons, and then I read reviews of a thing, and I get as much information as I possibly can, so that when I finally make the decision, I feel like it's the best decision I can make. It's the most well-informed. Sometimes at the end of it, I still have to like flip a coin, because I still really don't know.
Have you really become more patient over time, or are you just managing your anxiety better?
Which is it? I really think it's both. For me, patience has translated into our relationship, because that's part of what you've taught me, though. So yeah. You haven't necessarily taught me patience. What you've taught me is that there are consequences for being impatient. So I would say in a DS relationship where one of you is patient, like you've learned that or it's a natural ability or whatever, if you make it so there are consequences for the impatient one, if they're smart, they're going to pick up on that and they will do those things.
Yes,
because
they will.
I have learned, and I always joke it's about your sadism, and it usually is.
Good portion.
But I have no doubt it's about teaching me to be more patient. If I make a demand, like I want something now, I'm guaranteed to not get it now.
Ain't happening.
So you know what I don't do? I don't demand anything now. And if I do, it's probably a life-saving thing because I'm bleeding somewhere. You know? It's like, I need this now. I try not to do ultimatums because now I don't like ultimatums in general, but I mean like those kinky fun, you know, sassy little things of if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. Oh Lord. Cause, dominant sadist will call my bluff in a heartbeat. And so sometimes that means, and I have also learned, and this is funny cause we don't argue a lot. But when we do, it hurts because we don't argue a lot. Right. And I hate having strife and I hate having conflict. I'm like the person who will avoid conflict at all costs, no matter what. And part, a lot of that's my anxiety. But I have learned to avoid conflict with you. And at the same time, I have learned how to slow down a little bit. So I will get upset because I want a thing that is important to me that's not about our power dynamic or our kink. I want something to happen immediately. It's important to me. I really think it matters. I feel like it needs to happen this way. Or it's a conversation that is super important to me and I have had the it needs to happen now thing. And certain someone, it's like he not only is like, no, but when I push back, because I do sometimes, try not to, but I do. Especially if it feels super important, like if it feels like a big major deal. We have had conflict where we're actually fussing at one another and we're in a disagreement and we're like in separate rooms because we're so annoyed with the other that, and in the end, the conversation or the whatever it is I was worried about happens at a later time.
Right.
And it's okay. And it all works out.
Right.
So what I have learned is if I can feel that I'm pushing too hard to get what I want and I'm getting that annoyed pushback, I will take a breath and go, I have to slow down. I have to, I'm going to cause conflict I don't want and I'm still going to have to wait. Because it's not like we're talking about a life or death situation right here.
Well, we actually came up with a stopgap to help with some of that. Because you, my sweet baby girl, can be a very passionate and very intense person.
I'm sure nobody who can hear the sound of my voice or see my face right now would has any idea what you're talking about.
Right.
That is a total mystery to all of us.
Yes. And there are times that can be overwhelming, over exuberant.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, when I'm like ready to do a thing, get out of my fucking way, I will bowl you down to go do it.
So I have come up with a safe word.
Have you been mind fucking me and I didn't even know it? Yes.
Yeah.
What?
You remember?
No, I don't.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh God, you haven't used that in so long.
I have not had to use it in a long time.
That's right. I do remember that now.
So I have come up with a safe word when she gets like that because she does not. When she gets into that mindset, she gets very wound into it.
And I want things to happen
and,
right now.
And she
I
wants
talk
things
about
to
it,
happen
and I,
right now.
Yes.
And when
yes.
she gets like that, it is hard to make her see that. So, yes, I came up with a safe word.
That's
if I
true.
Use that word, that pings her, oh, okay, I need to...
Right, I need to pull back a
right.
little bit. I've allowed my passions to overrun my ass.
Yes.
I mean, I remember, I think the last time you used it, we were standing in the Starbucks, and I didn't remember what we were talking about. But what I remember is going, but no, I really think this and this and that, and then we can do... And he was like... Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes.
Stop.
Zip.
Right. In the middle. So that's us in slowing down to patience. I do want to make sure that to help people who are like, oh, I'm sure that's not it. I'm sure it's this. So here are some sort of key phrases and key things that mm-hmm. I've noticed. So people will say that they feel overwhelmed right. either by what you're doing or by your partner. Like, this is a lot of stuff. There are a lot of reasons that could be, but in almost every conversation I've had with somebody, one of those potential reasons was you're doing too much all at once.
Right.
You can't keep up with it yet. So that's one.
Yeah. I think of it as going into you decide you want a career in a specific industry. You just don't walk in and...
I'm the CEO of this bitch now.
Right. You learn... You gain experience.
Right.
You know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. I have heard of people who have been put into jobs, positions, different things that they did not have experience. What happens? You can become overwhelmed. Yes, some people are able to just
right.
jump in and go with it, but I think most people, for the most part, can become overwhelmed and frustrated.
And the other feeling that I hear a lot about is sort of feeling defeated. And yeah. the common language I hear is, this clearly isn't for me. Or maybe this isn't for them. Or the one that I don't want to say it frustrates me that people say this, because I think it comes from a place of frustration for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish there was a clearer answer is when they say, I don't really think they're dominant. I don't really think they're submissive. And they list this laundry list of reasons why. And sometimes the answer is no. They were doing something to make you happy and it's not right for them. That is true. Sometimes it's you haven't spent enough time exploring what works for you yet.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're finding is maybe this isn't what works for you. And some people, it's not even a patience thing. I'll go a little off topic. It's and I'm like this, so this is why I know this could be a thing. It's you set a course and you say, I'm going to do this list of things. And you keep pushing forward, even though every sign around you is like, danger, danger, fire, get out. This is not working. But you are the type of person, and I am one of these people, who says, but this was the plan. And I have to keep doing this because this is the thing I plan,
mm-hmm.
regardless of every other reaction happening around me. So that is, you know, when those are the things you're saying to yourself, I'm not saying that maybe the partner isn't the right person or there's something else going on. Those are all true. I would always say, take a step back and look at what you're doing. Did you just start a thing a month ago and you jumped right in with both feet, really excited, really happy to do it, but then easily got overwhelmed? The other thing mm-hmm. is that sometimes we can see that our partners are not doing their thing, or maybe they're overwhelmed, or maybe they're honest and saying, I'm overwhelmed. And we won't admit to ourselves that we jumped in too fast, we're doing too much, and we are overwhelmed.
Right.
Like, I know from the anxious mindset that what I tend to say to myself is, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. I can't do this fast enough. I can't do all of these things, but I have to. I have to because I said I would.
Yeah.
And it's this sort of cycle of thinking where you beat yourself up for not being able to do it all and then continue to try to do it all. And the whole time it's demoralizing and it's sinking you for, you're sinking under the weight of that instead of going, whoa, 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 whoa. This is the relationship we make it. This is the power dynamic we decide it is. Something has to give here. Let's talk about it. What doesn't feel right? What, you know, some of the ways I have described it in port, described it in the past before mm-hmm. is that something feels too tight. Like if my skin yes. feels too tight, that's my signal that there's something up with me. But when a thing I'm doing just doesn't fit. It's like I'm struggling against it. I'm trying to make it work, but it's just never sort of falling into place. Sometimes that means it's not the right thing. But if you True. Aren't willing to take a step back and admit, oh my God, we did too much. We tried too much. These things don't work. And we're not talking about those things. And what about this stuff over here? And what you're doing is you're feeling any level of worry or anxiety or feeling overwhelmed or demoralized or defeated because you can't do all of these things. First of all, there's no rule that says you have to do all of those things. And second, take a step back, look at everything you're doing, list it out, put it on paper or on a screen so you can see all of the things. If you are, even if you're not new to DS, but if all of these things are new, if you have more then I would say three new things on that list. Like, you got half a dozen brand new things you're trying to do all at once. You have gone too fast. Even if you are in an established relationship. Yeah. Even now, when you want me to change something, we never change 10 things at one time.
No.
We change one thing. We get good at that. Now, maybe because we have been together so long and we do have a certain, you know, good level of trust and communication, and we know we can depend on each other, you might make that shift happen a little faster. Like, I change one thing this day, a couple days later, we add that, later, we add that. That's our pace that works now, but that's not how it was in the beginning.
No. No, never. Definitely not.
What else did I want to say about that? There was something else I wanted to say. there was something else I wanted to say. I did add in my notes, and I said this in the blog post. It'll be linked in the show notes on Friday, that this is not a freaking race. This is cliche to say, but it is actually a journey. I know there are kingsters out there who roll their eyes back in their head, and I don't like cliches either, but we have already shifted our dynamic in the, like, 6 years we've been together.
Sure.
Like, it's not what it was at the beginning. It's not what it was when we were still trying to keep it platonic. It's not what it was when we added sex. It's not what it was when we were long distance. Even while we were long distance, it shifted. Yeah. You were not daddy from day one.
No.
You laughed at me when I asked you if you might be a daddy.
You did. I did.
You are so fucking much a daddy. There is no denying it. You are such a caregiver. Oh my God. You would daddy random strangers if they'd let you. Like, I just want to take care of you. You just need to be nurtured. And maybe you need a spanking. I can see that.
Yeah.
I see how you, like, it's a natural thing that comes out of you. And yeah, you laughed. So we have gone down a windy path to get to where we are today. And sometimes, because I'm a future thinker and I'm, because I'm an anxious person, so we worry about the future, I do think, I wonder what it'll be like in 5 years. I wonder what it'll be like when you're in your 70s. I wonder what it'll be like when I'm old. Like, you know, I have decided you're living until the day I die. We're going out together. And so I'm like, oh my God, when he's 100. When he's 100. I know y'all, but still. When he's 100, will I still call him daddy? And will I do it in public? Because I'll have zero fucks to give at that point.
Yeah.
And will he pinch my butt in front of other people by then? I wonder what will he'll hit me with his cane. That's what he'll do. Like, these are things. It will be different. It will, by necessity, be different.
Sure.
So there, and I said this at the beginning of this, there's no destination that you're trying to get to. There is no we're going to do all these things and then we will be DS couple. Like, it doesn't work that way. You are figuring this out day by day, and you have all the days ahead of you that you want to have. I hope for anybody who...
In a journey like this, I am going to be cliche because I like cliches.
I know you do.
All right? You know, yes, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Because there is no destination. Destination is death.
What you learn in between, the people you meet, the things you experience, that's what it's really all about.
And from day to day, things are going to shift. So we've spent 161 damn episodes talking about the sort of the real life factor of DS. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's fun to be part of the fantasy and to have that erotic fantasy play out in front of you. But there are still bills to pay. There are still children to raise. There are still, you know, parents to be caregivers to. There are like all of those responsibilities still exist. And you have to navigate that part of your life with however you're doing your DS. And that is 24/7 bedroom only, you know, whatever.
Whatever it is
it
for you.
It still has to fit in what you're trying to do on the DS level in some way. And so from day to day, we're not even necessarily the same with each other.
No.
Because some days I have to have like my big dominant, you know, energy going because we're doing business shit. Or I gotta be mom and lay down the fucking law, and that's the last thing that makes me feel submissive.
Woo-hoo.
Or we get into, John Brownson and I get into a disagreement and we have to navigate that.
Right.
And the things that I have learned about myself and us and you over time all factor into how I'm going to react and what I'm going to say. Like, I'm not going to say, I bet you won't do this because sadists will do it. I'm not stupid. And that's all part of that process. And if I had ever tried on day one to have DS as integrated into our life as it is 5 and 6 and 7 years on, I'd have set myself up for disappointment from the very beginning. Yeah. It is all a process. It is a step-by-step journey. Every day, you're going to learn something new about yourself. You're going to learn something new about your partner. You're going to learn something new about DS, power dynamic, kink, whatever. You're not even always going to know that you're learning it. It's just going to be you living your life.
Right.
And then you're going to look back over time and go, oh, that's right. Don't say that because this is the reaction you'll get. Or, ooh, watch yourself there, little submissive, because this is what will probably happen. Yeah. Like, these things all start to connect. And I remembered what I wanted to say.
Okay.
So... I think being willing to go slow, to have patience, to make this a journey and not some sort of race. I don't know what prize they're supposed to be at the end. I don't even know what the end is supposed to look like to anybody who considers it some sort of race. Like, I don't see it that way. I think what helps you slow down is trust. Trust in your partner.
Right.
Trust in the dynamic. Trust in yourself. I think we all know how we are, and we all react differently when things are difficult. Some of us give up and walk away. Some of us get anxious. Some of us get depressed. Some of us dig our heels in, even though it's like the worst thing we could be doing for. Like, we all have our own reaction, and we react differently depending on the situation. So if you don't trust yourself yet to be able to be patient, or you know how your partner is, or you think you know how they'll be, and you don't trust them to be willing to take things slow, and you don't trust in your dynamic enough yet. And you can't trust any of that without the experience, without going through it, without finding out how you react, how they react, how y'all react together, what strains your DS to a near breaking point and what doesn't. All of that you find out over time. So if you try to do all of the things in day one, you are speeding up a process that you are not even equipped to handle yet. And I would say that even if you're a long-term vanilla relationship transitioning to kink, because a couple of things. I know there'll be outliers where people did not have this experience, but in all of my conversations, every single conversation I've ever had with a vanilla couple who went, yeah, we're vanilla for all these years. Oh, now we're kinky. They all even still had bad tapes from their vanilla life because you weren't necessarily living your truth. And so you were reacting to things out of either being dissatisfied or unhappy or not liking the constraints that society or your upbringing or whatever had placed on you. And so even those couples who've known each other sometimes for years, for decades, and they have to make that switch, you still have to learn a new level of trust with each other. You have to trust that they're going to do what they said they were going to do. You're going to have to trust in yourself that you're going to do what you said you were going to do. And nothing to me as a submissive was ever harder and ever more proof to myself that I was a submissive than the day I was told no, and I went, okay.
Yeah.
Because I have free will. I can do what the fuck I want to do. But as a submissive, I choose to say, no, I will do what he wants me to do. And that's a hard thing. And until you're in that position, you do not know how you'll react. You know how you think you'll react. You know how you want to react, but you don't really know.
No.
So I think cultivating patience is cultivating trust. And I think that if you can just slow the hell down, back up a little bit and rethink where you're at, especially if right now you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're like, yes, I'm so fucking overwhelmed. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh yes, that was sub-frenzy. I recognize it now. Or, oh yes, I've been having these frustrations with my partner. Like, if you recognize yourself in this, back the fuck up. Have a conversation with your partner. Get real with both yourself and them. And realize that part of how you're going to cultivate that trust is by being patient, is by going slow. It's by saying, okay, we're going to do two things. We're going to do that kinky thing we really like, and we're going to do this like task thing or this routine thing. We're going to do those two things until they feel easy, until we're not even thinking about them anymore. And in that, in doing that, while you do that, you will learn to trust yourself, trust them, and trust the dynamic to work together the way you want it to.
Right. And by slowing down and taking your time and easing into things, you know what it gives you? It gives you a chance to enjoy what you're doing.
Yes, this is supposed to be fun, you know, not work.
Yeah. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. Savor it. Okay? You know, when you're trying to do too many things at one time, you can't do that.
I mean, remember, when you figured out that you were dominant or submissive or switch or wherever your identity lies, there might have been some fear. For me, the moment I realized what it was utter relief. I was like, oh my God, I make so much more sense, right? And the moment you finally get to experience it, as scared as you might be, I think we all have some level of nerves because we don't know really what's about to happen. This is supposed to be about fulfilling a part of you that you've either denied forever or you've just discovered or whatever. This is supposed to be fulfilling. It will not be fulfilling every fucking day. It just won't. Some days I don't want to make coffee. I do it, but I don't want to.
Yes, you do.
It's not going to be, this is great, every moment. But when you're first starting out and you're making that choice, while there's tension and nerves and maybe a lack of trust and you're really unsure, yes, all those things are there. There should be some level of excitement. And if you are, and in my mind, relatively new is 6 months or less. Some people might say a year or less. Some people might look at us and say, I'm new because I've, since God, 7 years now. We all have our thing. For me, it's 6 months or less because you can learn a lot in 6 months. But if you are, by my thing, 6 months or less, and you have lost all excitement for it, you're dreading it now, regardless of what that reason is, bad partner, bad compatibility, you did too much, like whatever, that is worth stepping the fuck back.
Right.
Because this is supposed to, while it feels a million other things, it's also supposed to feel good. This is also supposed to be a thing you want to be doing.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Man, I was ranty today.
Yes.
I was very ranty.
Uh-huh.
I think you should beat my ass before you record an episode more often. or less, depending on anybody who was like, fuck, I wish this bitch would shut up. Can't please them all. So I think there's clearly a lot that we could say about this. I did not know I had so many thoughts on this until we started talking about it. So I will leave it over to you. If you have thoughts, if you have questions, if there's parts of the conversation we didn't go deep enough for you, feel free to reach out to us. If you're watching on YouTube, feel free to comment below. Listening on the podcast, or if you just prefer to keep it private, you can, I prefer email, quite frankly, lovingbdsmpodcast@gmail.com. You can talk to us on Twitter. Like, you can talk to us wherever we're at, but don't hesitate. And if we get enough questions about something or an answer makes me like have a rant, it'll probably be another episode.
Yep.
We have repeated topics before because there was more to say. These things are so much nuance, there's so much subtlety, there's so much individual, it being unique to all of us. That's what I mean by that word. Words are hard. I'm a writer, can't you tell? So feel free, and if we can help, we will. If we can point you to a better resource, we will definitely do that. We do not think we have all the answers.
No.
So we do have a bonus section.
Yes, we do.
Because we went and played on a spanking bench today.
We did.
And we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because we did, and I'm very happy about that.
You are.
I know. And I have thoughts about it, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we have to do our thing.
So are we good?
As good as we're ever going to be.
All right.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Daddy, can I talk to the crickets, please? Please, 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 please.
Well, you are asking nicely.
Sure. Well, that's what happens when you beat my ass. I'm much more polite.
You definitely need to do that more often.
I agree completely. More spankings for Kayla.
I like, because, you know, it was early morning and there wasn't many people.
There wasn't even anybody in the room.
Anybody in the room except the dungeon monitor.
And he fell asleep.
You know,
I feel like I should be appalled by that.
I know. I kind of, yeah. He's kind of nice and yet kind of like, are we that boring?
No, he did not see us as a threat. And he told you all the work he does. That boy was tired.
Yeah.
He needed that nap.
He did. But I like the way the sound, especially the one paddle.
My favorite paddle from Lodbrok.
The favorite paddle, how it echoed. In the dungeon.
Oh, my God. And so, I don't...
Thwack! Thwack, 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 thwack. Thwack!
Here's the thing, and I don't... This is not unique to me at all. I know this happens to people. If you've ever had... And it doesn't have to be spanking, it'd be anything. the noise is louder than you expect, so you think the pain will be worse than it's going to be. I was jumping from the sound until it like dawned on me, like, oh, this is fine. I can handle this. So we did a spanking bench at the club.
Yeah.
I actually, and this is strange for me, okay. I kept my bra on.
Yeah.
And here's this. I know this will not make any sense to anybody, and that's okay. We were the only ones in there. Dungeon Monitor didn't even come in until, like, I think after I was on the spanking bench. That was fine. They know us. We are safe. It's fine. I think they would have been much more vigilant if they questioned us or whatever. But the way the furniture and the PlayStations are now set up, they almost all, not all, look straight out at the audience, the social scene.
The social area, yeah.
Now, there was nobody there. There was nobody there. But my head went, you're facing a potential audience.
Yeah.
They can look straight at you. Now, when I'm on the cross, my back is to the audience.
Right.
I'll take my bra off all day long. But the idea that I would be full frontal and I would be facing anybody who happened to walk in messed with my head. The bra stayed on. Hmm. The bra stayed. I normally am like, I only wear a thong. Like, I wear that for a little bit of modesty and mostly because I don't want to get anything on anything. but I was like, do you mind if I keep my bra on? And you had the best answer. You were like, whatever makes you comfortable. And see, what would have been more comfortable would have been to take off the fucking bra. Like, you raked your nails down my back.
Yeah.
And that felt really good. But then they would go clunk, clunk, clunk over the bra. Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing an industrial bra, y'all. It's not a sexy one. It is one meant to keep it all in, including...
lift and tuck.
Including back fat. Like, it is a special design. You don't get the overlap thing. So it's like industrial strength. Rawr. It is not sexy. The thong was sexy. I had a little bow right up front. And it was black. And it was a thong. It went right up. And I was like, I can't wait to take this off. but so I did. I felt as a mostly exhibitionist, I felt very uncomfortable. I was like, I'm facing and things don't stand where they used to. It was weird.
They've made a lot of changes.
And they're
there
great.
At the club.
I love
and,
what I saw.
And they're great changes. Because they've actually expanded,
mm-hmm.
which is fabulous because now they can have open play in the dungeon, and mm-hmm. they actually have a room that they at simultaneously where you can hold workshops and do other things,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. So in doing that, they have actually opened up the play area a little bit in the main dungeon. And
yeah, I did like the setup.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool because they have now three spanking benches set up in a row.
I know.
Right in the front.
You could just boom, 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 down the row.
You could set a sub on each bench and just go right down the row.
Yes, you could. I love going in the morning because there's nobody fucking there. So you can pick anywhere you want to be. Technically, we could have shifted the furniture if we wanted, as long as we stayed in this. But I was like, I do not feel like doing that shit. Because what happens is, when we're done, I, like, slide off the equipment.
Yes,
and I'm no
does.
Good to anybody. So I wouldn't have been able to help put it back. So I didn't want to do that. And I, like, my rational brain went, nobody is here. It's fine. but it was a different experience because we usually are on the cross. We talked about this earlier where we like got really granular and like what we were talking about really detailed. It changed every single sensation. And so mm-hmm. at times it was like a deep tissue massage, which is my favorite kind of impact mm-hmm. play. Please make it thud. And I literally just sort of draped over the spanking bench, closed my eyes, and I didn't even make noise. I was like, ah. And then there was the stinging pain and bent over. And I feel like I should have known this because the moment my brain made the connection, well, of course, this is what would happen.
Yeah.
Different angle, muscles put, you know, fat redistributed. Like, it's a completely different space to...
Please.
Palette, canvas to be smacking, right? So everything that I'm used to feeling one way didn't necessarily feel that way. And that is different from being bent over the bed, from standing mm-hmm. against the wall, from being on the cross. So every single stinging pain was intensified. And anybody who knows anatomy better than I do, maybe that's because the fat moved away and it was my butt pushed out and it was mostly my glutes. I don't know. I do know that backs of my thighs were more exposed. And I know that when your hands came down, because we were at a different angle, instead of always getting me like right on the meatiest part of my butt, it was up on my lower back, and that is a very stingy place to just get hit in general, I have found. And so I never did fully lose myself in it. There were a couple of times, and this is where I am so glad I have Daddy Dom, who watches my signals and does not wait for a safe word.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple times he hit, and it just landed just right slash so wrong that the pain was so intense. All I could do was put my hand back behind me like I was going to stop him. I don't know how that was going to happen, but that was where I was going. And it, like, I froze there.
And I saw that hand movement, yes.
And I don't make movements like that. No. I squeal, and I did, and I,
And you coo. And,
well, I do that when I'm very happy.
Yes.
But I make all kinds of noises when it hurts, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to power through this shit.
Right.
Here we go. Those two times?
Two times.
I was not powering through nothing.
No, you weren't.
Mm-mm. And for all that we have been together for a long time, and we are clearly disgustingly cute and enamored with one another, I still have moments where if I can't handle everything you want to dish out, I feel like I'm potentially, I know I'm not, because I know we've had these conversations, but I feel like I might be letting you down.
Never.
Like you're disappointed that you didn't get to do what you wanted to do. And I have to sort of talk myself out of those thoughts and feelings and go, wait, this is not how y'all roll. If he was unhappy, he would let you know. This would have stopped already or whatever. But I did also have a moment. I did not voice it. I was half naked on a spanking bench with my ass just out there waiting to be hit. I had this thought of, could you just do what you like to do until you're done? And then let me have the deep tissue massage I was here for. fine. Use the stingy shit. Go ahead. Can we get back to the massage feeling I was having? I did not say that because I'm not a dumb masochist. I'll tell you that. The music was good. That was the other cool thing about being the only one there. They were like, what kind of music do you want? And I had said last time we went, oh, some like hard rock, classic rock. And I got shit that was like not anything you could beat my ass to. So this time I got way more specific.
Oh, I don't know. The Bon Jovi song last time worked out really
okay,
well.
Okay, but there was a lot of music. I was like, this is like a ballad. Like, this isn't doing it for me. I need like hard driving beats. And thankfully the dungeon monitor was like, oh, no. You need my playlist, the one I usually use. I was like,
It was great. I mean, there was Disturbed.
There was, I think maybe anybody knows because I don't know. There was a Cranberries song, all the 90s kids out there, hi, remake that sounded like Disturbed.
Might have been.
And maybe they did like a cover album because they did The Sound of Silence.
The Sound of Silence,
and that song came on. Oh, that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm going to need to do on YouTube, we have a playlist of songs we like to do kink scenes to. I'm going to have to go in and add some of that
update
stuff.
Update that, yes.
Yeah, because there was some good songs today. I was like, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Beat me to this. Mm-hmm. Please beat me to this.
There were a lot of good songs today.
So, yeah, it was good. The conversation we had afterwards that might be a podcast episode in a couple of weeks, because we have an episode for next week from that big conversation we had, was about the expectations that we each had. So we came home and I immediately had to wash like literally 6 cups that have had coffee in them over the past 2 days. Cause that's what I did. And so I'm standing at the sink and I'm washing these dishes and I'm just like, oh, life is good. I'm a happy girl. This is a good day. Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I'm sorry that didn't quite live up to your expectations. And we had had this conversation about how I have memories of what other scenes feel like. And I would love to get back into those feelings at any subsequent scene we have. But it's a want to, not a need to, not a have to.
Yeah.
And so I had to lecture him for a minute. I know y'all are shocked that I would do that. About, wait, I got what I wanted.
Well, I think that's what I
did not have lowered
expectations. Was looking at. I was looking back at, you know, the times we had gone to the club and I just wailed on you.
Yeah.
All right. And dished out everything I could give you.
And sometimes I can take it more than I can. And that's another thing we have talked about in the past and we can talk about another time where depending on what's going on in my head, what's going on in life, mental health, all of that, my pain tolerance fluctuates. And I have no doubt, because hormones do weird things to bodies, that my hormones might have some sort of impact on that. Pardon the pun. My stomach had not been feeling all that great, but I was like, no, it's not so bad. I can't play. So let's do this shit. We're here now. And that might have had some impact on it.
A lot of different things can affect it, sure.
So, but it was still good. It was still much needed. I did not go into subspace. I don't every time we play anyway. But I got to a really nice, relaxed state that was wonderful, that I was very happy to have happen. I will say, and I think this was where my mind was at in the beginning of the scene.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know a lot about anatomy or medical stuff or physiology or any of that. But I try to pay attention to stuff. And I know that when you have the fight, flight, or freeze reaction, we usually say fight or flight, but freeze is one of them too, that your body reacts in certain ways. And some way you must have hit me. I don't even remember which one it was. Triggered that because my palms were soaked. They were so sweaty.
Really?
I had this fear reaction. And I didn't fight because you know me, I'll come out swinging if that's no, don't do that anymore. I didn't have that reaction. I think I was a freeze moment, but the palms of my hands flooded with sweat. I had this I won't say anxious moment because it's not the same, but just took a deep breath. My eyes got really wide. I was unsure of what, and it was just a couple of seconds. And then, but even though we had put a blanket over the spanking match, because we didn't see the towels till later.
Yeah.
Put my blanket over so we can protect it. I still, because I knew how sweaty I got, I went and got the Clorox wipes and wiped the spanking match down to because I was oh my, and I felt the bottoms of my feet get sweaty too. And I know that that is a response to fear of some sort. I have my, it's not a, it's a knockoff Fitbit. It's the $20 version. I'd love a real one day. But I can check my heart rate on it. Sometimes I think I should, when we're doing kinky shit, I should
check that.
Check that and see what happens
to
it.
That would be interesting to see.
Pretty sure it spiked at that moment too. But I don't even remember what you did. I just remember my head wasn't in the right spot yet. And yet, even through all that, even being able to pick it apart like that, perfectly happy we went. And then my eggs afterwards, very happy.
Oh, yeah.
And my coffee before, very happy.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be working late tonight because we took the morning off, but it's totally worth it. Worth every fucking minute. So
do it again in a heartbeat.
We will next month.
And we will, yes.
Yeah, we are now considered the new regulars. We've only gone twice.
Yes.
And they're thinking of shifting the schedule around, so they checked in with us to go, would this be a problem? We're like, if you give us notice, we'll figure this out.
Right.
Just please, please
make
it so we can come back.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was good. It was worth it. It was much needed.
Yeah.
So it was, that was us. That was our day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we've got next week's podcast scheduled. If you are a kinky patron at the $5 and up level, $5, $10, $5, we will ask for topic suggestions.
Yes.
But we do have at least 1 week already. We know what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like a real real life professional when we when we're moving that far ahead. But yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
For me,
I've not been doing a whole lot. Working in the shop, doing a lot of stuff in the shop.
Making pretty things.
Making stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drinking lots of coffee.
Drinking lots and lots of coffee.
You have a very busy weekend coming up, which is why our conversation got deferred to Sunday.
Yep. Friday night, we're having our local, our local community does once a month, they have call it drinking time.
Yes, and it's celebrating a couple of birthdays.
Yes.
Including two people that we're friends with.
Two people that we know are celebrating birthdays.
Yep.
And
I will not be going. I will stay home in my PJs.
Yeah.
I do not go to that one.
But it's just, a few people get together and have a drink or adult or otherwise.
Right, yeah. Drinking isn't required. It's just it's happening in a bar.
Right. And Saturday, I have a woodworking show I'll be attending.
I know. You'll be gone all freaking day.
Yeah. Starts at 10 in the morning and ends at 6. So I'll be there hoping to pick up some tools.
Yes. Yes.
Hoping that somebody that I know was there last year that sold some really fantastic wood blanks is there and going to a lot of different seminars.
So I know you'll be on the lookout for wood, whether it's that vendor or somebody else.
Right.
The question is, at least on my mind, are you looking for, these would be perfect blanks for pins and bowls? Or are you looking for, this would be good for a paddle?
Either or.
I vote for paddles.
Either or.
I think everybody watching or listening would vote for paddles. And yes, and I will spend that day on the couch, probably in my PJs, sipping coffee and doing things that make me happy.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's, but yeah, so it's kind of laid back, low key for right now. I mean, stuff's going on. We are finally painting the kitchen.
Yeah,
it's about half done.
I painted half the kitchen. I completely painted half the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. Got the walls on one side, three coats of paint.
Oh my God, yes.
Covered. It looks good. I've got the wall plates back up.
Yeah, that's been nice.
Yeah.
I hate having the wall plates off so your outlets are just like there and naked. Right. Like, I hate that.
So that's done. And now there's just the other half to go, which hopefully very soon.
Yeah. And then that's part of what we're talking about on Sunday. We have to create a schedule of how we're going to, and just so y'all like can commiserate with me on why I might be freaking out about this.
Yeah.
So we got to get the house ready to be able to put it on the market. And there's, it's all little stuff, but there's plenty of it. Just like, you know, how it is.
Yeah.
Plus, we are freaking going to London in March, but we want to list the house probably sometime in April. We then have to find where we're going to be living when we move. There was something else. It's escaped me now. This is why we should not have deferred that conversation, because I will forget important points. But there's like all this stuff that we have to schedule and do and figure out and plan. Oh, and there's shows and there's this and there's that. And I'm like, oh my God, I just need a schedule. I just need a plan, an outline. We're going to do this here. We're going to do that here. We're going to do it in this order. And then my brain will calm down.
Well, see, what you need to do then,
oh gosh,
you say you need to make
you want me to make the plan?
You need to make a bullet point list of the things that you want to talk about.
And I'll go ahead and sketch
way
out
you
a
can,
plan for
I,
you.
I forgot, yeah.
And then I'll sketch out a plan for you, and you can just look at it and go, yes, that works, and then we're done. I'm good with that, too. Hi, I love you, Dad.
Keep dreaming, baby girl. Keep dreaming.
So we have talked everybody's ear off,
yep,
as we usually do. I've got to learn to stop apologizing for that, because it's what we do. And some
you
of y'all are here
you,
for that.
You, I don't know about me, but you are who you are. Yeah.
I am. Yeah. But I do want to point out, if you are still with us to the bitter end, we are actually, when we turn off the live stream and take like a quick like bathroom break, after that, we're going to record the second in a video series that is purposely designed to challenge mostly me to see if we can just hit bullet points. And the first one, it's five things you need to know about, and we pick a topic out of BDSM, and there's so many things to talk about, we'll be able to do this forever. We won't do it forever, but we could. Anyway, the first video was under 11 minutes.
Yeah.
I was very proud of us. And we hit five things people need to know about being a dominant. And I put it in the newsletter and I tweeted out, and if you go to our YouTube channel, you'll see it. But I was like, look at us. We can't do it. It's hard. It's very hard to do. And as soon as we finish this, like I said, quick bathroom break, and then we'll record that one. And the second one.
Yeah.
So I know. And it's fun to be able to do it. And my thinking was, some people, they don't know us. They have no opinion on us. They have no reason or incentive to spend an hour with us. And they might not be getting information that maybe they want or need because they're like, ooh, I don't have time for this. Or I'm not invested enough to make the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what if we share what we know in short bullet points? And then because every topic is really so broad and big and you can go on forever about any of it, we link to all the places we've already talked about it. And if somebody wants to dive in, they can. And if they don't, we've at least hit the highlights of things we think are important about those topics.
Yeah.
And so it's a thing we're trying because why not? So, yeah, that's what we got to do next.
Yes,
so
indeed.
We should probably go do that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Yes. Glad to have you with the live stream. Glad to have live stream. I can speak. I'm glad to have you listening to the podcast. However you are getting the information, we're glad that you're here with us. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.